This is Ian Dayborn
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, a man who's has been away, but not for too long, is Phil, our photography expert. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Phil Minot, and it's a lovely day, isn't it, today?
The first thing, it's beautiful.
It was gorgeous, wasn't it?
I was out this morning with the frosty leaves crunching under my foot and avoiding the iced over puddles. But there's loads of beautiful detail today, this morning, especially as the sun was coming up.
Yes.
And, of course, what's great about this time of year, whereas in June, if you want to catch the sunrise, you have to be up, don't you, sort of 5 o'clock time, ready to go. Whereas this time of year, it's wonderful. I mean, you can just lie in bed till 7:30 and then look out your window and it's coming up 7:45. So, yes, superb.
So at this time of year, talking about being out early, do you have to be careful about how you take care of your camera equipment and how you take the pictures? Does it affect that?
Well, it does generally in winter, really, because it's obviously, if you're going from a cold environment into a warm environment, and then your cameras start to mist up.
Yes.
The lenses will, and it will go eventually, you just have to warm it up. And also, if you're at extreme temperature, which, to be fair, we don't tend to get in Cambridgeshire, What you need to do is try and keep that camera warm for two things, really. One, that you it'd have to be quite cold for it to damage your camera.
Yes.
But what you want to do is, we're talking about, you want to make sure that your battery maintains as much power as it can, and in the winter it tends to lose more than it would in a warmer climate. So, but generally around here in Cambridgeshire, it's okay. If you get your mobile phone out on a warm day, on a cold day, out of your pocket, then it has that warmth about it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And that's your body heat. Some photographers, if you were standing outside court all day and it was sort of below freezing quite a lot and you were waiting to do a snatch picture, used to keep your camera under your coat.
Yeah, just to keep it
ready,
ready for that shot.
Ready for when people come out. But that's not so important these days with digital. And battery power is just superb now, and the way batteries work for it.
They're getting better all the time.
Yeah.
So while we're sticking with that cold theme, they're talking, aren't they, about possibly some snow tomorrow?
Yes.
So any sort of particular tips around if it gets snowy and we want to get some good pictures?
Well, this is Cambridge, so we know it'll be a slushy snow.
Sure.
And it won't be real snow. Norfolk gets snow before Cambridgeshire. You know, we would probably be the last place in the country to ever get proper snow. But let's pretend, a little bit of imagination, that tomorrow we're going to wake up and it's going to be the first white, proper, crunchy snow beneath our feet, okay?
Yep, okay.
Okay, so if you want to photograph in snow, it doesn't matter to me whether it's bright sunny day or whether it's a dull light day, because on a nice bright sunny day you can get those nice happy sort of postcardy type shots, and your people will be out playing in the snow and a nice bright sort of atmosphere to your pictures.
Yes.
But if it's a dull day, then of course you can go for those atmospheric shots where you're actually recording the elements and the fact it's winter.
Right, okay, so you've got options.
Yeah, so there's no such thing as bad light, I don't think, when it comes to snow. But of course, the great thing about winter, or not the great thing, perhaps the bad thing about winter is it doesn't really matter what the light is, you have to get yourself outside.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a lot harder to get yourself outside to do stuff when it's cold, and obviously it is in the summer. So you have to be a hardcore photographer, really, to want to take some nice pictures in the snow. And obviously, the obvious stuff is to dress appropriately once you know your camera's safe as well.
Keep yourself warm.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you do take pictures in the snow, I get that thing, I don't know if it's my fault, where the light all seems okay out there, but the pictures look a bit on the dark side. Is that something I'm doing wrong?
No, it's not doing wrong. It's just one of those quirky things. It depends on the camera you're using, the metering system and the sensor in your camera or your mobile phone, indeed. And that's why compact cameras and camera phones will have on them like a snow icon.
Right.
Basically, it's because there's so much white light around that it throws the meter out, the sensors out in your camera, and your camera thinks there's more light available than there is. So it tends to underexpose the shot. It actually needs to be open the shutter a little bit longer to get more light in to show the detail in the picture. So you can do that if you've got a DSLR, and even on some compacts this happens, you'll find that you'll have an increment button with plus and minus on the exposure, and once again on camera phones. And you just, if you want more light on your picture, you just press it a couple of increments on the plus side.
And the beauty with digital photography now is you can have a play around with that and see what works best.
Yeah, and as you go, I mean, that's exploiting digital photography to its best.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually the whole point of digital photography is you can take a lot more pictures, and it's certainly not being unprofessional or less skilled to take less frames. You know, some people have this thing, they're like, when I had film, I only used to take 30 frames, you know, it'll last me 1.5 years.
Yes.
But the great thing about digital is you can look at that shot you've done, and within reason, you can usually tell because you get used to how your screen works and the image and how that relates to the final file on your screen. You'll be able to improve the shot as you go.
And what about if... having got out there in the snow, we've got all the neighbours out having a snowball fight and the kids riding up and down on a sledge, yeah, sort of action shots, I suppose you'd call them. Any sort of tips as to how to go about approaching those?
Now, I presume, in your case, the neighbours are out because they want to throw snowballs at you.
Yeah, they want to stick a carrot in my snowman. They want to make his nose.
I mean, that's really about action shots, isn't it?
Yes.
So be aware, once again, of the underexposure things, but you can, you want movement in your shots.
Right.
So imagine you were photographing a football match or something like that. It's the same theory, or a galloping horse or something. So you want to freeze the action. So you'll have a faster shutter speed.
Right.
Or once again, on depending what camera you got, you look for the little man running.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It looks like a fire exit sign.
Yeah, I know the thing you mean.
And you set that up, and once again, you'll have the same issue with your exposure.
Yes.
So don't forget your plus and minus increment on the exposure button mode you can use as well.
Yes.
And generally look, I think if you're doing action shots, the focus, you know, if it's family, and it's quite nice to focus on the faces.
Sure, yep. Yeah.
Yep. And then if you have that dominant in the frame, and then you might find in that case that your snow gets overexposed a bit, but you want the detail in the faces anyway for that. And the same for anyone who's lucky enough to go on a ski trip. It's the same sort of thing. You want to... the thing with snow is it's one of those things, if you do like a vista-type picture, a general landscape picture, you have to be very... it's quite easy when you're there, because it's bright, to look for your camera and actually think that person's dominating.
Sure.
So if I was coming down a ski slope towards you, completely out of control, I've got no idea why the two of us be on a ski holiday together, but hey, who knows what the future holds. You would be standing here taking a picture of me, and of course I was coming towards you out of control, and you'd think, oh, that would dominate your
brain.
Recoil,
yeah.
And when you got the pictures back, you think, oh, he's just a little speck on it. So a white background tends to have this tendency of when you're taking the picture that things are closer. So remember, the golden rule, as we've spoken about before, is make sure that the subject, the main point of interest, just dominates the frame a bit.
Right, OK. Oh, there's some good stuff there on snow. And whether we get snow or whether we don't next week, the one thing I can almost guarantee we're going to get between now and the end of February is some fog. So... fog. What would your advice be there? Does that mean, you know, fog? No, we can't take pictures because it's foggy. You won't be able to see anything.
No. Oh no, not at all.
No.
No, we get out in the fog. I mean, fog's lovely, isn't it? If you think about
it, is.
About the fog. It transforms, doesn't it, our everyday.
Yes.
So suddenly those places where we're used to walking every day to work or driving to work, how we get to work or cycling to work, it adds a mystery, doesn't it, without getting too deep about it. And it transforms what we're used to seeing on an everyday basis, and it gives us a different look about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, a whole different perspective,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And what I really love about fog is the fact that it gets rid of all those vibrant colours we see about us every day. And all the bright colours, and every colour tends to become pastel, doesn't it? Because it's shrouded in this sort of duller light.
Yes.
So it's quite hard for something to shine. So the only things that tends to shine would be like, lights. You know, bicycle lights, car lights.
Yes.
So it's a great opportunity to look at things differently, and particularly if you like creative arty shots, then fog is a superb thing to get out there and do, and start taking pictures in, really. I think it's because you have a different range of tones and contrasts. You know, when I think of taking pictures in fog, I remember taking picture in fog, and there's snow as well, from the top of Elizabeth Way Bridge, and there was a couple of the boats were on the river in people living them, and it was they had their stoves on and smoke was coming out, and it was all quite eerie, and there was a jogger running along on the river, and for some reason, really bizarre, I was working for the paper then, they it got used as a big picture, which is fine, which is nice. But for some reason, they sold loads and loads of prints from this picture taken in the fog.
Oh, really?
Because it sort of it was an atmospheric scene, I guess.
And if we can just go off topic for a second, were you on commission for all the pictures they sold?
No, a staff photographer.
Oh, so sticking with the fog theme, you can take pictures in fog, but is there not that risk? And is there any way that you need to approach it that you can't actually see what's going on at all in a picture that's taken in the fog? You know,
I think actually almost to your, we were talking about, I suppose it was scale when we were talking about the snow and family and how saying how we need to get things to dominate. I think you're right. I think the thing with fog is you have to be careful because you could end up taking a vista of a view you know very well. But if anyone else does look at that picture, there's nothing in it to locate it.
Yes.
So the trick is then is to have some point of interest in the foreground. In fact, just come to mind, my dad, when I was a kid, took a picture of my oldest sister walking across Jesus Green under the trees.
Yes.
And it was foggy and she was wearing this red coat. I mean, probably one of the best pictures I've ever seen in my life. And because it had a point of interest. There's this red coat towards you.
Yeah.
And there is that point of interest. So it could be, like I say, a bench in the foreground or a silhouette or imagine you down by on the cam, alongside the cam, and there's the early morning rowers.
Yes.
I mean, that could look superb. And if you get that with some sun rising, it's ethereal.
Very
ethereal.
Yeah. Actually, talking about it with you, fog and snow can be really powerful, can't they? Fog in particular, actually, in terms of creating...
Well, I mean, we were used to people seeing, like, Newmarket Heath when the horses go out.
Sure,
Superb shots you get this time of year, don't you, in the Nationals? It's just, you know, it's just brilliant.
Yes, it makes you feel as if you're there. I suppose that's what you're trying to achieve, isn't it? You can feel that cold.
As I said earlier, it's because it's seeing our everyday life is transformed just for one day, you know, just for this one day in Erie. I mean, it's not great if you're stuck on the road trying to get on the A14.
No.
But on the other hand, it's quite atmospheric. Although that could be a good shot, couldn't it? Looking down along the A14, all the cars, all the, you know, smoke coming out the back. It's not smoke, is it? But you know what I mean, the heat
rising. Yeah.
What do we call that?
The emissions, the exhaust.
Yeah, the exhaust emissions, yes. Yeah. And something so, you know, modern and perhaps not ideal environmentally could actually look quite beautiful.
So there you go. There are ideas everywhere. Listen, Phil, thank you very much indeed. Great to chat to you. I think we've got some good ideas there for this time of year. So if we get some snow next week, we'll definitely get some fog. One way or the other, we should get some award-winning pictures, I think, if people have taken your tips on board.
Hope so.
Okay, well, listen, that's Phil Minot, photographer. And don't forget that if you want to check out Phil's website, philminotphoto.co.uk. He's also on Instagram, photominot, on Facebook, photominot, @photominot, and on Instagram, photominotuk. So there you go. And, we'll have Phil back. It'll be in the new year with some more great tips for excellent photography.